Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Oh, so you can yell racial epithets and misogynistic comments?
Unfortunately, or fortunately, I am not a 13-year-old boy playing Call of Duty on Xbox.
Duty! By the way, I was at C2E2 this week with Monsieur Petby.
Yeah.
And there was a Titanfall booth and an Xbox One van.
An X-Bone?
X-Bone van over there. And Pat, it's like, oh, we got to go see the Xbox. So I reach over and I pop his collar and go, you're ready.
Did he wear a hat? Did you put his hat at a jaunty angle as well?
No, but because he got all like really like freaking out when I flipped his collar. He's like, kind of like when you put a cross up to a vampire. But it was quite hysterical.
Nice.
Mr. Pat B was very upset with me. He's like, I'm not like that, dude. Then he went over to the Twitch feed booth. And if anybody listens to Play On, that joke is really funny. Well, not really funny, but it's funny enough. Steve's looking at the Japanese book right now for Bolt Action.
Imperial Japan.
Yes.
I'm learning about SNL grenade squads and IGA.
Saturday Night Live grenade
squads? Yeah.
Wow. Nice. You're learning about them. Anyway, welcome to Game Classy. I am your host, as always, Joe, and with me is the Red Skull to my Captain America, Steve.
Sweet.
Steve.
I get to be the Red Skull. I'm Steve. Hugo Weaving.
Steve. Hail Hydra.
It's the worst salute ever. The double fists up.
Did you see Captain America yet?
No.
Oh my God! It's so unbelievably good.
I was gonna go see it today.
Yeah, go see it. Do it. No, I mean like, go see it because it's amazing. You're gonna be like, holy shit! This movie is way better than anything that's come before it.
All right. Because I mean, my favorite of the first crop was the Captain America movie.
The only problem is that it was so unbelievably violent. Like violent to the
point. Sounds awesome.
It was put to the point where I was like, I turned to my wife after, you know, watching this. And I don't know if that's because I'm an old fuddy-duddy now or I'm a dad or whatever. But I was just like, this movie is incredibly violent.
I'd say maybe it's because you're a giant pansy.
Yes, that too. Yeah. This movie is delectably violent.
You've got the ruffled collar.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's like you're aghast.
Oh, my.
My monocle fell out.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah.
And you had to replace it with your next monocle, but that also flew out because you were so aghast.
Oh, I spend infinitely too much money on monocles.
You ran out of monocles.
Oh dear, I'm out of monocles.
I had to finish the film without wearing a monocle, like a commoner.
Like a dirty commoner. I had to lay my tissue down on my seat before I said
it. Your kerchief.
Yeah, it's a definitely go see Captain America.
All right.
Highly recommend it.
All right. Sounds good.
So, yeah, C2E2 this weekend. You didn't go, right?
Nah. I'll probably go next year.
Yeah. You know,
I went last year, which I liked it.
And you know that you can get press badges. Like, they really don't, you know, there's not a lot of oversight with that. It's like, I'm considered press just because I have this podcast.
Well, I want to, like, buy stuff.
And you could buy stuff with a press badge.
No. Like, have the extra money to, like, blow.
Oh, and so you want to go.
So.
Yeah. You want to have money first before you go.
Exactly.
Shit, I blew so much fucking money.
Right, because I like blowing money there, and I was just like,
holy crap. I bought like $150 worth of comics.
I want to have a certain amount of threshold that I can just burn before I go.
Yeah. But like, I think I bought like 20 trades just because I was just like, oh, I need this, and I need this, and I need this. And I had just seen Captain America, so I was like, I'm going to buy some Captain America stuff.
Yeah, because I mean, I like doing all the, you know, the meet and greets and like the autographs, like the actual like really expensive shit to do at C2E2.
Yeah,
like
it's so
paying for autographs and buying books for dudes to sign.
The fucking one. You know who was there was Jim
Captain Lou Albano.
He's dead.
That doesn't change my statement.
Wheel him out.
Yeah,
him and Cyndi Lauper, the corpse of her career.
Yeah.
Was like I say, Jim Butcher, the guy who did Dresden Files, was there. Also, Patrick Roth. I thought you liked the Dresden Files.
I liked the Dresden Files TV show.
Oh, okay. And the guy from the Dresden Files TV show is on Arrow. It's pretty funny because I can't see him on Arrow without thinking of him from the Dresden Files TV show. I'm gonna do your magic,
cast a spell
with your hockey stick, and drumsticks. And then the guy Patrick Rothfuss from who wrote the Kingkiller Chronicles was there as well. I'm not a big fan.
I have no idea what the Kingkiller Chronicles are.
Kingkiller.
Oh.
King Killer.
Whatever. It does sound like a rapper.
It's a total like D&D campaign Mary Sue book.
Yo, dog. I'm King Killer.
Yeah, I couldn't get past like the first book. I read it and it was like, this is a bad Harry Potter ripoff. But you know, women.
Owls and spells.
Harry Potter's at school.
Now he's under the stairs. It's people under the stairs.
I get it. No, the yeah, it's women love the book though. Like kind of weird, but my wife's knitting forum that she goes to. Like everyone talks about
is
that.
Is it
book.
A knitting forum or is it a crocheting forum?
It's knitting. Well, that's what she calls it, so I don't know if it's crocheting or knitting, but she just calls it.
Let me tell you, crocheted hat.
Yeah.
That's a moneymaker.
That's a moneymaker.
Yeah.
She's made a couple Jane hats for people on, you know, those people can't just let go of Firefly. And she also made me a giant Doctor Who scarf from the Fourth Doctor.
Ew.
So, yeah.
You would wear it.
I wear it all the time.
It's so bad.
It's so bad.
So bad.
Yeah, but C2E2 was great. There was a Hulk Hogan was there. Stan Lee was there.
Hulk Hogan's a real American.
He is. Except for that brief moment.
He fights for the right of every man.
No, there was that brief moment where he fought with NWO.
That's true. He was the founder of the NWO, the New World Order.
Yes. Brother. Ooh, brother.
What are you going to do when these 27-inch pythons come after you?
Wait, was I doing Macho Man or was I doing...
You were doing Macho Man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hogan, we're going to settle this in the squared circle.
Yeah, Hogan's kind of like the only one left from that era.
Yeah, they're all dead. No, I actually just saw Hacksaw Jim Duggan at C2E2.
Yeah, I like the giant superstars.
Wait, Hacksaw Jim Duggan was a giant superstar.
He was not a giant superstar. He was big, but
he was not as good as Bret
he was
Michaels
not Ultimate
and Marty
Jannetty, Ultimate Warrior, or Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
Brutus the Barber Beefcake, don't mess.
Going to Roddy Piper.
Big Boss Man's dead. I actually think Roddy Piper's still alive.
Yeah, he is.
Because he's Roddy Piper, and he'll never die.
Unless the frogmen come to get him from Hell Goes to Frogtown. Hell Comes to Frogtown.
You know what movie's actually in that's super, like, actually, like, a good movie is They Live. Yeah. That movie's awesome.
It's actually a really good movie.
It does have a... It does... The one awkward thing in that movie is him and Keith David have a fight in an alley, and it's, like, 10 minutes long.
It's
pretty brutal. Like, if you're like, I'm watching, like... Fuck.
Yeah. It's
They're just hitting each other.
Yeah.
I don't think they're acting anymore.
They look like they're in pain. Yeah. But yeah, so C2E2 is very good. So if you ever are in Chicagoland for C2E2, go to it.
Yeah, I'll be there next year.
It's one. I'm talking to our fans at this point, or our listeners.
Well, yeah, I'm letting them know that I'll be there next year because that like they want to come see me.
We should have a booth next year.
Can it be shaped like a butt?
No, a dick butt.
Nice.
Yeah, and we'll put out like a terrible, terrible game for us to play with the fans, like
Spellfire. Feel the magic.
No, you know what we'll do? We'll set up a booth, and it'll be basically you go into the booth. It's like at a curtain, and it's like play a game with Steve and Joe, Game Classy, and they come in there, and it's one of those videotape like graveyard games. You know what I'm talking about?
You like Atmosphere?
Yeah, like yeah. It'd be like. You have to. We're just sitting there playing that. Like, stop! The person who is the oldest in the room gets to go again. Yes, Gravemaster, or whatever the fucking guy's called. We need to do that. That's what we need to do.
Nice. I was thinking. They just walk in, and both of us just have like one of those like gas powered dildos, and just like whoa, 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 whoa. We're just staring at them as they walk in. There's like, whoa, 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 and then I assume they'll just turn around and leave.
Can we be wearing masks of some kind?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
I'd like to wear a Val Kilmer mask.
All right, I'm gonna wear.
You go as Tom Cruise. I'll go as Val Kilmer.
I don't want to wear a Tom Cruise mask.
Well, how about
I'll wear a Jake Gyllenhaal mask.
Where are you gonna find a Jake Gyllenhaal mask?
I don't know.
Oh man!
I'll kidnap Jake Gyllenhaal and then just make a plaster cast of his face.
Yeah, I have enough casting material at home. I think we could do that.
Sounds fine.
Yes.
Yes. My silicone Jake Gyllenhaal mask.
Yeah, I mean it's weird to say, but C2E2. I know I'm harping on this, but I just went yesterday, and it's kind of a big deal out here in Chicagoland. C2E2. It's
kind of a big deal.
It's because we used to have Wizard World in Chicago. We still have it, but now it's the Wizard World Autograph and Boat Show.
The boat show. Boat show. That's the best fucking commercial ever. You ever heard it?
Yes.
For the boat show? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there's a boat show around Chicago. And the commercial is, in fact, come to the boat show. The boat show. That's it. Just repeat the boat show.
Yeah, we,
so you don't forget.
We used to have like a really great convention, and then it kind of just went this weird. It took this weird left turn around 2008, where it was just all like these really, really D-list celebrities who come, and you just pay like
Wizard World's garbage.
You pay $75 to get in, and that's like a 1 day badge, and then you have to get, you have to pay $50, $75 to get autographs from these people, like get the autograph,
Captain Lou Albano,
from Captain Lou Albano. Or meet the cast of Cheers. Wait, I'd actually like that, but you know, like
Woody Harrelson.
I'd like to meet any of them. Ted Danson, Rhea Perlman.
Fuck Ted Danson.
Norm.
Norm be all
George
right.
Wendt.
George Wendt be all right. George Wendt, eat your beans.
Cliff Clavin.
Yeah.
Dr. Fraser Crane. I'd watch all of them. But now C2E2.
Kelsey Grammer be all right. Although I've heard Kelsey Grammer's a huge dick.
He probably is. His wife is IBS. but C2E2 kind of focuses more on the Etsy crap. So there was like a lot of cool like gaming related stuff, a lot of dice related stuff. There was a lot of people who were doing glass like etching and stuff. Like I got a cool Lannister mug, like a giant beer mug. It's
you
got
would.
The big Lannister
you
line
would.
On there. I would. The Lannisters send their regards. Did you watch 2 weeks ago?
I've seen every episode thus far. I've been watching them as they air.
So spoiler alert. Okay, now that we got the spoiler alert out of the way, the Joffrey dying. So
the good. best thing about that is the Instagram picture that Jack Gleason did, where like he's got the big giant projection of him like all dead and bloody, and he's just like he's got like the this guy look, like this guy,
yeah. This guy.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
But yeah, they
so he's retiring from acting now.
Yeah, you know he goes out on a high note. That was like a great character. He'll come back eventually, probably. Oh, who knows?
He was never actually interested in doing acting before. Yeah.
I'd do it. I'd play Joffrey. I'd make a great Joffrey.
Nah, you don't have it.
Yeah. I'd be on Game of Thrones. I have no problem being naked.
I know, but you wouldn't be a good Joffrey.
No.
You could be like Hodor.
Hodor.
or Hot Pie.
That guy. yeah, so C2E2, they had like these really cool copper etching, you know, like printed copper. I wanted to buy one of Thor's hammer, but it was like I couldn't figure out what I would do with it in my house. It was too small to be like a centerpiece.
Did
of,
you
like,
pick
a
up
wall.
Any Frozen memorabilia?
I did for my daughter, but
yeah, with quotey fingers.
Yeah,
you know you got yourself a fucking fleshlight that's got Elsa's picture on it.
Duh, I didn't have to buy that.
To
I could
put,
just
you have to
make
put it,
that.
You have to put it in the freezer though to get the full effect.
The cold never bothered me anyway, Steve.
Something's cold in the freezer tonight. Oh, look, it's a frozen vagina. Fuck it all.
I don't know what you're doing here.
I was banging the fleshlight with my fingers.
Yeah.
I'm doing this visual reference. See, everyone? I'm doing it into the mic.
Duh.
So they got it. Duh.
Duh. Also, this weekend was Little Wars. I know you love it so much. That's the historical
gaming. Was there Pico armor?
There was Pico armor. There was a ton of Pico armor.
I bet there were a lot of suspenders and train conductor hats.
Yes, there was. However, I was very disappointed that my favorite game that I usually like seeing is the guys who sit in the corner with the big mat laid out where they do the naval game, and there's the guy sitting in the chair in the center pushing everything because he can't get up to move it or get down on his knees to move it around. But they had it on a table this year, so there was no big guy standing in the center.
That's a shame.
I know.
I mean, you've fallen into your slow descent into being a historical gamer, which,
I've descended
into, which is madness.
It's true. I've read the Necronomicon.
What is this paper? It just says Haster over and over.
but I did what. Aside from that, it doesn't really matter. I just go there to buy shit anyway. But they had their flea market, and I got three awesome games. I got for $20 each. I got the original 80s Milton Bradley Fortress America, which is a fantastic game. Have you ever
played
that?
They remade that game, actually.
I know they did, but it's the original.
I've never played the original.
It's pretty much the same thing. Shogun. I don't know if you ever played that one.
That I've played.
And the original, not the original.
Shogun's also been remade recently.
Yes. But the Milton Bradley Axis and Allies. I'm so excited about that.
The one with the broken opening move for Germany?
Yes!
That one version's bad. Don't play it.
What are you talking about? That's how the... It's so good. You know what? I'd never actually remember playing with the real rules because I haven't had
you just
a
played with the ships and the...
Well, no. I mean, I think that we played close proximity to the rules, but I think I haven't played that game since I was like 12 or 13 in my grandpa's basement with like my cousins. And we had no idea what the fuck we were doing. I mean, I know 30-year-olds who play X's and Allies. I know 30-year-olds who play that game who have no idea how the rules work. The rule book is bigger than Twilight Imperium. And that's saying a lot, because yeah. Twilight Imperium comes in a 12-book segment. But
it's like the Encyclopedia Britannica.
But it's like...
Twilight Imperium, Volume 1.
Read to you by John Gielgud.
Enjoy.
Spared no expense.
Oh, Mr. DNA.
But the, yeah, it's so exciting me so much because I've never been able to get a hold of it. Because every time I see it, like either online or at an auction or anywhere, it's always like $75, $80 for this Access and Allies box set. I got it for $20 and it's in perfect condition. I was like so excited. I'm like, Diana.
What critical part is it actually missing?
It's not missing anything. I think, are you sure? No, it is. It's missing dice. But aside from that, how many dice do I have at
home? You don't have the authentic dice. It's useless. Nobody cares.
But yeah, I said that I came home with it and I'm like, Diana. Look what I have. And she goes, who are you going to play that with? I go, I don't know, but I want to play it soon.
Well, I'll play the Axis.
You play the Axis?
Yeah, we can play.
Can I play the Allies?
The last time, last time I played Axis and Allies.
We'll make Pat B play the French.
It was, make him play the Russians. So I could just
steamroll him.
Ruin his game. be like, oh, and you're dead. You're out. You're out of the game. I took over your factories. You're gone. The last time I played Axis and Allies was about... I think it was 2008, I think was the last time I played.
Yeah.
But it ended with my land invasion of the United States of America by the Japanese.
Nice! Yeah. But Axis and Allies is one of those weird games that it's like, you could either have a shit ton of fun playing it, or else it just becomes like the ultimate, just everyone's pissed off, they don't want to play it anymore type.
Nobody wants to play Russia, because the opening German move, which is like, you just do it.
Yeah.
You go into, there's a factory that a whole bunch of German shit can get to on the first turn.
Yeah.
So you just overwhelmingly take it, and you get an additional factory, which puts you in a great position as the German player, and then fucks the Russian player over. So like, they never get a game.
Yeah. It's true.
One of the biggest tweaks from the version right after that is they put like two spaces that like weren't there before. So you can't do that opening move anymore.
Eh. You could always come up with something different. You could always house rule it, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's bad. It's like, it's really bad. I was like, oh, fuck. I was like, that movie's awful. like anyone playing Rush is like,
yeah.
You might as well just go sit down and drink some coffee. I mean, like, oh, it's my turn? Okay,
drink
great.
Some vodka.
I'll push these things around.
Yeah, actually, at C2E2, a bunch of people bought, and the whole Planet Arbitrary crew came, except for you, because you're like, meh. But the
hey, I didn't get any sort of invite.
You're always invited.
You didn't give me any sort of invite. I didn't know the whole crew was going.
I sent you one of those e-cards that you.
I didn't see any e-cards. I think Pat asked me if I was coming.
To your AOL.
But he didn't tell me that there was a Planet Arbitrary special delivery thing.
I put you with. I sent an e-card to your AOL account.
I still probably wouldn't have shown up.
But there was a guy selling old NES cartridges. But they were modified, or else they were just, they were flasks that you could open up and then you could, but it was as like an SNES cartridge, same size, but it pops open the top and you could, you know, get booze out of it, which is funny because A, it's too big to fit in any of your pockets, so yep. It's like a useless flask, and B, they didn't have any authentic stickers on it. It would say like drunk hunt.
Aww.
Or Castle Vodka. That one made me laugh.
Yeah, that's pretty good. But yeah, I probably would have been disappointed and be like, oh, these aren't actually classic NES titles.
Yeah.
And slap him off his table. You're bad.
So, no transition for this, but did you see about 2 weekends ago? It wasn't even 2 weekends ago. It was about a week ago. Tabletop Gaming News kind of imploded in their comment section.
I missed the actual happening.
Oh, my God. You know, at first, I thought it was because of GW's announcement of their new hobby set. Have you seen this thing?
No.
$45 for Clippers.
Really?
I don't know. It's something ridiculous. It's like $30.
I try to avoid Games Workshop.
I know, but I mean, it's still, you should look at it just for shiggles, you know?
Shiggles.
It was so classic. I was like... That's what I thought everybody was freaking out about. But I'm like, at that point, why are you even commenting about this? Mm. You're not going to be telling anyone who's getting into the hobby, you know, there's cheaper Clippers out there. Everyone knows there's cheaper Clippers out there.
There's cheaper everything out there.
And even if the only idiots who are going to buy that stuff are people who were either A, just getting into the hobby, or B,
and don't know any better.
Yeah, and don't know any better. Or B, people who are so in the Games Workshop bubble that they don't know anything else exists. And I don't think there's anybody else like that anymore. Most people just play 40K because they begrudgingly have nothing else to play.
Or they gotta use their Ogryn with their, like, tank tread tummies.
Exactly.
You know, they pissed me off, too, because those models actually would have been pretty all right if they didn't have fucking tank tread tummies.
No, those models were not all right. There's never been a good Ogryn.
The armored dudes with the gas masks, those guys looked fine, except for their tank tread tummies. They were too regular ogres were pretty bad.
They were too blocky. The regular ogres. Ugh, those are fucking...
Yeah, well, I mean, the armored ones, like, it was like a step in the right direction. Obviously, not $47 for three guys, step in the right direction with tank tread tummies. But
you have a thing with the tank tread tummies.
Because it pissed me off. It was like, this model could have been passable.
I think that should be your cosplay for next
tank
year
tread
for,
tummies.
For Adepticon. Go as an ogre with tank tread tummies.
You're like, look at me, I've got a tank tread.
Then you go into the 40K team tournament and just start knocking into shit. People get so mad at you.
But they can't attack me because I have the tank tread tummies.
You guys have tank tread tummies.
Yes.
People come and assault you and you pull out your big shield. And you're like, ah, you can't hurt me. People come at you.
But it was about Rivet Wars, wasn't it?
Yes, it was about Rivet Wars, of all things. Like, I honestly at no point thought that anybody had any problem with Rivet Wars. I saw Rivet Wars and I'm just like, it's chibi dust, you know? It's chibi World War I dust. And I'm like, whatever. It looks cool. It's not my thing. By any stretch of the imagination, it's not my thing. I don't like... The aesthetic is okay, but it's just... I don't want to... If they were pre-painted, maybe. But I don't want to paint that.
I like the Red Baron.
The Red Baron, the little biplane.
Yeah, because it's like a big giant guy sticking out of a small biplane. Like that amuses me.
I mean, I like the little vehicles and the tanks and everything, but everything looks like... I have a kid. They look like Weebles. Or not like,
they don't
little
look like
people.
Weebles.
They look like little people.
Sort of, yeah.
And so it's like, I don't want to... You know, this is fucking stupid for me. I'm not saying it's done. The game is actually kind of cool. I played a demo of the game. It's actually kind of nice. But it's like... And then people got really pissed off about mold lines. Like, that's what everybody freaked the shit out about. I'm like, you're complaining about mold lines? How long have you been in this hobby? Everything fucking has mold lines on it. If someone promises you that something's not going to have mold lines, they're fucking lying to you. Because everything has goddamn mold lines. And that's, like, the biggest problem with fucking minigames is the fact that you got to clean shit still. We live in 2015, Steve. How come we haven't solved this problem?
Pretty sure it's 2014.
Whatever, we live in 2014.
Maybe in 2015 the problem will be solved.
What are you, like a Cubs fan?
What's a Cubs fan?
But yeah, it's like, and they it was like huge, like 50 people commenting on it, either defending it or arguing against it. Like, why is this even an issue?
You got me, man.
But it was funny. I appreciate a good, like, flame thread when people, like when it's something that makes no sense of why it exists. It's just funny that it would happen like that.
Just going down in flames for pretty much no reason.
Yeah, I mean, like, what's you know, what the hell is going on with this? Oh God. It makes my head throb.
I thought
just
it was
a
funny.
Little bit.
I mean, I thought the after the fact was funny, but I wish I could have seen it as it happens, because nothing beats like watching the flames unfurl.
That's the best part. It's like when you start seeing like, all of a sudden, like, you see, like, one person says something, and then another person says something underneath. You just, like, oh, boy, settle in. You get your big bucket of popcorn, and, you know, you get yourself a soda pop. And you're just like, oh, I'm ready for this.
I'm sure there was plenty of Tildur comments as well.
Yeah. It's like some person going, well, the reason why the mold lines exist is because it's a two-part mold process.
He's got to write he writes a college thesis about miniature production, and then says, like, and that is why you're wrong.
You know, and I'm bad because I fall for that too sometimes. Like, sometimes I'll be on Reddit or something and I'll see someone post something and I'm like, this person's wrong. I need to tell them why. And then I'm just like, God damn it. Why did I waste all this time writing this?
You're that guy.
I am that guy. Don't I have anything else to say about that other than the fact that people are stupid for arguing about goddamn mold lines on models? It's like, fucking A. Oh, by the way, speaking of
mold lines?
Okay, no. Speaking of Kickstarters, because Rivet Wars was Kickstarted, so there's my transition, motherfucker.
Weak.
As I said, Wrath of Kings, delayed.
I am shocked.
Shocked, sir. Everyone knew it was supposed to come out next month, May, or this month, depending on when you're listening to this. But they pushed it back to August. Now this pisses me off for two reasons. One, I saw the guy at Adepticon, and I'm like, so are they going to get delivered next month? And he was like, well, it should be, depending on anything else. And I'm like, and I'm like, come on, dude. Don't fucking lie to me like this. Like, just give me a straight answer, a yes or no. If he had told me no, you know, it's probably going to be delayed a couple months, so I'd probably be like, oh, okay, not a big deal. But when people fucking lie to me to my face just because they don't, like, something like that, I'm just, fuck you.
Maybe he didn't know.
He probably knew.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Whoa, was that the Magnificent Seven?
No, just it's another Kickstarter I wanted to talk about. Cool Mini or Not's doing another board game, Dogs of War. Have you seen it?
No, nope, sounds stupid.
It's not bad. It's another. It's like.
Is it a game? Does it have steampunk?
No.
Is it about boats?
No.
Is it a historical game?
No.
Is it a sci-fi game?
Nope.
Is it a modern military game?
Nope.
What the fuck is it?
Dogs of War is not a game of pure military power, but rather a game where deception and betrayal often lead the way to a decisive victory.
Hate it.
The goal of Dogs of War is to earn the most power by the end of the game. It's like a fantasy-based board game. It looks more like a deck-building game.
Sounds like I hate it.
Sounds like you hate it. Actually, it looks pretty good. I might back it.
Hated it.
My biggest issue is that it's like Forgotten King for Super Dungeon Explorer. It's only a one pledge level game. So for $50, you get the game, and you're going to get all like the little stretch goals that they do for it. I don't know what they could do for a stretch goal for this game, though. It doesn't look...
Are there figures?
Not really. There's like little busts. The busts look really sweet. They're like dudes with big floppy hats, which I know you like. Because it reminds you of big floppy dicks.
It looks like they riffed off of
Cadwallon.
Yeah, Cadwallon.
But I mean,
they're like, yeah, Cadwallon, that's got a good look. Oh, I'm gonna do that.
But they already have Cadwallon. They already have a bunch of board games for Cadwallon.
I know.
City of Thieves.
I know, but these guys didn't make it. Fancy Flight made those Cadwallon board games.
Yeah, but they did. Oh yeah, I guess this is Cool Mini.
This is Cool Mini. Oh, here's here. They have the Viscount is a Kickstarter exclusive.
The Viscount.
Nope, Viscount.
Viscount
Dorlarscherberger Durgen. I don't know. This game kind of looks like shit.
I think it looks good. I don't know why do you think it looks like shit. Do you just not like the aesthetic?
I don't like the board. I don't know. I'm not super confident in this one. I mean, I'm sure it'll do fine because it's a fucking cool Kickstarter.
It's already made its goal.
Right. I mean, like, I'm talking about getting like the upper levels.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
sure it'll reach those things because it's a cool mini Kickstarter. So people just like back it because like, all right, I'm going to back it because it's going to be delayed forever. I like things being delayed.
Maybe
that's why people back them is so then they have the justification to like just.
Complain,
rant about how much they've been delayed. Like, I'm a Kickstarter backer, and I want you to know I'm gonna have to cancel my funding if this game doesn't come out tomorrow.
No, I really like
it. As a matter of fact, it should have already been out.
I think it looks good. I think that it might be a little bit, what's the word I'm looking for? It might not be a well thought out game, like in terms of playtesting. I've had that problem with a lot of games that have come out from a lot of board games that have come out for especially like Fantasy Flight, like low key games. But I don't know. I'd give this one a shot. It doesn't look too bad. There's a lot of cool looking stuff with it. I kind of like when I was watching through it. It looked interesting to me. So I don't know. I still like. There's a what's that fucking game?
It's probably a Euro style board game. So I'll fucking
hate it. Yeah, so I hate it. I can't kill anyone with a train, so I'm not going to play it.
I mean, they're generally just mostly Kingmaker games because everyone gets to play the whole time. So if I get put in a position where I'm going to lose, I can guarantee that someone else will win.
Why would you want to play a game where you know you could get kicked out? Like, you go to a person's house for, like, a board game night, and then let's say you lose in the first two turns.
Well,
then...
elimination isn't necessarily the same thing. Like, being able to, like, attack the other player is the thing.
Well, who says like, you can't attack another player in this?
Because if it's a Euro-style game, you can't.
It has soldiers.
That probably means you can move them, and you're like, I have fortified my... I don't know. It looks dumb. I hate it.
I would give a look at it. Look at it because it looks pretty good. And plus, everything looks like it's pretty high quality. Cool Mini or Not does pretty high quality.
The components
stuff.
Look fine.
The components look good. But aside from that, I was saying, getting back to Wrath of Kings, that just makes me mad. It's like it should have been.
Hey, now you could be an entitled Kickstarter backer.
I am an entitled Kickstarter backer. I backed
finally.
What, I'm 5-4 Kickstarter or something?
No,
like
I'm
that.
Talking about with I'm talking about with specifically in regards to.
Oh, yeah, Kings. Wrath of Kings.
Wrath of Kings.
Whatever. I don't know. I'm contemplating just canceling it, but
yeah, I'd be one of those guys.
Be one of those guys. It's gonna be. I don't want to say like if it gets delayed after August, I'll probably drop it at that
you
point.
You are now one of those guys.
Well, because I wanted to have it before summer so that I could work on it over the summer when I got all my free time. But, you know, if it's not, it's already going to be August, so I'm already losing the entire summer on it.
Man.
I know. It's angry to me. Yeah. By the way, so another Kickstarter that I saw that I really wanted to comment on. Rare Elements RPG Fantasy Currency. It's another one of those Kickstarters.
It's just dice or coins.
I saw them at C2E2, though, and they had some really nice stuff. So I definitely recommend just taking a look at it. It's, you know, it's fine. It's,
I like coins. They're a fun accessory.
They are. They're really nice for RPGs. I also like it when you have the hole in the center of the coin, like old-timey, so you could put a string through it and tie it to your belt.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go LARPing, you could be like, how many gold coins does this magic potion cost? Oh, excellent. And then you could have a cut purse that comes in, cuts it off, takes your coins.
That son of a bitch.
Then you could give him 2 damage with your fireballs.
You would just scream out, lightning bolt, lightning bolt, lightning bolt, lightning bolt, lightning bolt.
Good time. But yeah, that's the other one. I mean, there's, in terms of Kickstarters, there's not like been a lot that I've been really excited about. A lot of things that have been going on with Kickstarters right now recently have been either like card skins. So it's like, here's your steampunk card deck, or here's your, you know, Imperial Roman card deck. It's like, let's do something different at this point. There's been a couple like cool RPG little things that have flown under. But nothing that's like really captured my imagination. A lot of the same stuff, like dice Kickstarters, because everyone needs more dice. That creature caster one was pretty interesting, but
the Dwarven Forge one was pretty huge.
Yeah, but that one already passed. And we already talked about that in terms of.
Yeah, I mean most of the bigger Kickstarters are over now, except for Super Dungeon Explorer, which I assume everyone knows about by now.
Well, that's already been.
Is
funded.
It over?
Yeah, that okay. Over and funded. I don't know how much it actually ended up. Let me check really quick. Forgotten King.
Well, you know, maybe if they had the Doctor Who miniatures game where you've got the Doctor Who miniature blowing Captain America and like some Cybermen jerking off Daleks, you'd probably be excited about that.
That'd be sweet, sweet. Actually, Forgotten King made 1.15 mil.
Wow.
So that actually did really
that's
well.
That's quite a lot.
I'm actually kind of happy because it really...
Ooh, what a lovely tea party. Now you're playing... You're really bad at manipulating your fucking tablets.
What? Shut up.
Now I've got like a weird, awkward, quasi soundtrack to the episode. Is you ham fisting it?
Yeah, work, damn you, you stupid thing. They made 1.15 mil. It blew Arcadia Quest out of the water, so that made me happy.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, just because I'm just like, GoBots.
GoBots.
Fucking GoBots.
yeah. Leader one.
What?
Leader one.
Leader one. Mach 5.
Psykill.
Psykill. Scooter.
Scooter.
dun, 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 dun. You okay there?
I'm doing some stretching, you know? Feels good.
Prepping for your fights against Pat B and the arcade?
Oh, man. It's going to be hype.
Are you going back to...
The Ghost? The Ghost? That is a thing, but right now the current throwdown is JoJo's Bizarre Adventure All-Star Battle is coming in on the 29th.
And yeah.
I have challenged Pat B to that game.
Are you good at that game?
I've never played it before. I played the...
Oh, you never played it before? So that makes you one of the top 3 players of that game of all time. Why don't you challenge him at something that real people know how to play?
Well, that's the whole point. It's an even challenge.
Oh, it's
because,
an even challenge?
Because I've never played it before. Pat's never played it before. We're both going to get the fighting at the same time.
Oh, okay.
And then we're going to do...
It's bullshit. You're sitting there practicing at home.
Well, that's the point. We're going to do...
You're like those people that go and read all the Trivia Pursuit cards and memorize the answers.
Well, the idea is like we're going to have one battle, which is like how long... Like if the game's been out for 3 days, it's like it's a 3-day battle. Like we've had possibility to play the game for 3 days, and then we'll see how the matches go, and then we'll get time to practice and then play again.
Okay, first of all, this isn't fair for Pat B, and I will defend him in this way. He has a child at home. He can't just spend all night playing a game like you do and practicing.
Hey, it sounds like you're making some fucking shitty excuses for Pepe. And I'm sure he'll use the same ones now. He'll be like, well, Joe was right, because,
But you sit there and play from, like, the second you get home from work until you have to go to work without sleep, and then you sleep at work. That's what you fucking do. I know you. And so you're going to be like, oh, well, how come I gave you the same amount of time? It's like you played for 72 hours straight, Steve. You can't necessarily combat it.
Hey, that's...
Plus you're playing...
That sounds like a flimsy excuse.
Plus you're playing some, like, bizarre Japanese game that probably no one has ever heard of outside of Japan.
JoJo's is pretty big.
Is it big in Japan?
It's big here as well.
It doesn't take anything to be big in Japan. You just have to be over 5'6" to be big in Japan.
It's big here as well.
Is it?
Yeah. Well, there was a
I never heard of it. It's no Assassin's Creed.
Oh my god. The worst. And then we're thinking about making it maybe into a little series where we play various fighting games. And,
oh yeah, because that's what people want to see.
Yeah.
They want to see your asses playing video games.
They want to see me versus Pat B.
Yeah, that's what they want to see.
That's what they want
to
see.
If you want to see Steve versus Pat B, go to our Kickstarter, which is...
Well, yeah, we'll Kickstart it.
Support our Twitch feed.
We'll Kickstart it. Yeah. We'll call it Joe Sucks the Kickstarter.
Joe Sucks the Kickstarter.
Be like, not only will you be supporting Pat B and myself's challenge matches, but you'll be saying definitively that Joe sucks.
Why would anybody want to watch two people playing a video game? That's like seeing like two people play a board game. There's nothing that
that's
you can...
That's different. And that's completely different. You know why? Because if you're watching someone play a video game, like a fighting, like a versus game, maximum amount of time you're probably going to spend on it if you just watch them having one total match, like 10 minutes. Maximum.
Oh, 10 minutes, I would never get
Then,
the only thing worthwhile to watching someone play a fighting game would be the possibility of maybe hearing Guile's theme in the background. Because as we know, everything's better with Guile's theme.
Guile's theme goes with everything.
Yes. Yep.
And so does Before My Body Is Dry from Kill la Kill. Everything goes with that as well.
I have no idea what that is.
That's fine. I know.
Is that one of those things that's big in Japan?
You're not hip. You're not with it. You're an old man.
Is it big in Japan?
You're an old man. You need to get your pipe too and your fedora.
Right.
Ooh-da, ooh-da, ooh-da. Sonic boom. Sonic ooh-da, boom. Ooh-da. Sonic boom.
I tried to pause it and didn't pause. Kyle's theme beats everything at that point.
Yeah, it's because you're ham hocking it on your fucking tablet. You can't do anything. Pause, play, don't work.
By the way, someone was talking. Never mind on that. I don't even know why I even started to bring that up. I just got to bring up one thing that I wanted to talk about.
Speaking of people watching people play fighting games. Here's something. This might explain a few things to you. Have you ever looked at how many Minecraft videos exist on YouTube?
Yeah, I don't get that either.
So with the sheer volume of Minecraft, like one of the worst looking and just terrible games that exist, with the immense popularity of that game, being that I would say I might even not be generous to this, 60%. Maybe 75% of all video game related videos on YouTube are Minecraft videos.
I will not dispute that.
Like, why wouldn't you watch something that's like, you know, just a couple dudes fighting?
The only thing I like about Minecraft is occasionally there's like one that like, hey, we've recreated the USS Enterprise in Minecraft. And I'll be like, oh, that's interesting. I'll go look at it. And it's like, videos an hour and a half long. I'm like, I ain't got time for that. So it's like, okay, you did that. More power to you. Good for you.
Minecraft's the worst fucking thing ever.
It's not the worst thing ever. I don't get it. I don't know why.
It's the worst game ever.
I don't know why you'd want to play something so low res that it's like, oh, I get that you want to build something, and that's kind of a cool concept in and of itself, but I don't get the graphics. It just does not interest me. I'm like, we've moved past this as a society. We have advanced graphics cards. We can do some cool shit nowadays.
It's just bad. I don't know. It's fucking stupid. I hate those, like... All games in that style are just like they're wander around and like do shit games. I fucking can't stand them.
Wander around and do shit games?
Yeah, they're bad. It's just like, what's your objective? I'm going to walk around and I'm going to build this thing. It's like, so there's no goal.
People are weird.
I'm just
going
to build this. I'm going to build my fully recreational thing of Buzz Lightyear with a big dick.
if I'm going to play a video game, I'm going to play with some pirates, and I'm going to sit down with my big gallon of Coca-Cola.
You're going to mash out your X button.
I'm going to mash my X button while eating some fucking delicious breakfast Belgian waffle sliders from White Castle.
Ew. Is that a thing?
It is a thing, but I would never eat that in a million years.
That's fucking gross.
I know. That's America.
I mean, you play Assassin's Creed, so I can't put it past you.
Oh, you mean a game with story instead of...
You talk about story, but Assassin's Creed story is garbage.
Sweep
it's fucking terrible.
Sweep the leg, Johnny. Sweep the leg.
It's like an Aspie kid wrote it.
Hey,
it's like, then the assassin goes to...
Now I'm going
to
punch you in the face.
The present.
Now I'm going to sweep kick you. Now I'm going to put you in a corner and keep button mashing.
You just kept talking because you know your arguments are totally invalid because Assassin's Creed's written by a fucking 4-year-old.
And I'm
going
to punch you in the solar
plexus. You're the aesthetic taste of a 4-year-old.
Now I'm going to shoot a fireball at you.
That's what I thought. You're like a fucking 4-year-old. Like, oh, he's an assassin, and he's in the real world, but he's living in memories of his ancestors. How cool. It's a virtual world.
Steve's getting upset because I'm making fun of his punching game.
No, it's because Assassin's Creed's fucking retarded. It's a retarded game for retards.
I'm going to kick you in the face with my combo move.
Oh, he's got a hidden blade in his wrist. He's like Wolverine. Awesome. Berserk attacks.
I'm going to punch you with this button.
It's that's what I thought.
Pressing X buttons. Speaking of Kickstarters, as
it's
were talking about
before. It's a bad fanfic.
Speaking of bad fanfics, Will Wheaton has officially funded his Indiegogo.
Talk about bad things. Talk about things that suck.
His Indiegogo tabletop season 3 has been funded. It's currently at $780,000. His initial goal was $500,000 to produce, I think it was something like, I don't know. I think he wanted to do like something like 15 episodes, but now he's expanded it. He wanted to do original 15. Now he's expanded it to 20 episodes for the season. But do you really need $500,000 to do that? Steve, do you need $500,000 to do that? Steve's head has gone down.
That's worse than the storyline of Assassin's Creed.
What I don't get is that I like, don't get me wrong, I like tabletop. But the things I like about tabletop are not the things that it's kind of known for. Like, I don't care that celebrities go on and play this game. What I like to see about tabletop is I like when someone kind of does, like, explains the rules to the game in a fun way that I understand how to play the game at that point. Because there's a lot of games that I've made fun of before, like Axis and Allies or fucking
Twilight Imperium,
that I have no idea how to fucking play. I look at the rule book and I'm just like, rip it in half. But I can go online to
the Encyclopedia Britannica, and that hurts your wrists after a while.
After a wrist, much like furious masturbation, it tends to hurt your wrist. But yeah, I don't understand. You could go on YouTube and you see lots of videos, and a lot of people are really boring with that. Like Battlestar Galactica, they'll be like, "All right, so," and you start off the game, you have these six cards.
I assume you need a shit ton to pay your celebrity guests.
But that's the thing, is like. Is he actually paying the celebrities to come on?
I had no idea before, but I would imagine with such a lofty goal to produce only a pretty small amount of episodes and like seeing the production values of the show, I can only assume that the huge amount of money is going to go to pay celebrities.
Well, because we know for a fact that it's a reviewing game. It's a review thing. So he doesn't have to pay like the creators of the game or anything. I mean, he might have to buy the game like... Whoa, that was crazy.
Pay the $30 to buy the game.
I got to buy Tsuro, so I got to pay my $15 to get this. I mean, it's not $500,000 worthy, mind you. But yeah, you have that, and then you have, does he pay the celebrities? How much does he pay the celebrities?
Don't know. But I mean, you got to figure it is, because I mean, how much money could it possibly cost to produce an episode of Tabletop? It's fucking three people sitting around a table.
He does have one of those sweet, sweet geek chic tables.
But that's already paid for, presumably.
Yeah.
Unless he's still paying off the credit card on that.
Yeah. Those things are pretty expensive.
I don't think it's $500,000 expensive.
No.
Yeah, that's my guess. It's probably to pay people. To pay, like, camera worker and, like, I don't know. That's what I figure.
I don't know. Like, I could get you.
I could have you be
my camera monkey. It'd be free.
It always kind of, like, boggles me that, like, some of these, like, more quote-unquote well-produced things, it's like, they're well-produced because they're spending so much fucking money on it. And it's like, you could have about the same production values for nowhere near the cost. My only guess is that he pays the celebrities.
Yeah, that's got to be it. I mean, I'm sure he takes a little bit home.
And keep in mind, I've said celebrities a bunch of time. I use that term very loosely.
Yes. As much as I like the cast of Eureka, I don't really consider them celebrities.
What the fuck is Eureka?
You never watched Eureka?
No.
Sci-fi? It was a decent show, but I mean, it's a sci-fi show, you know, or like the cast of Warehouse 13.
Like Sharknado?
Yeah, like Sharknado. Someone who appears in Sharknado, not a celebrity, Steve.
But they are in Sharknado.
But they are in Sharknado. You'd love to be in Sharknado.
I would be in Sharknado 2, Electric Boogaloo.
No, Sharknado 2, The Other Tornado.
Sharknado 2, The Eye of the Storm.
Yes.
That's the subtitle of that one.
I thought it was Sharknado 2, The Other One.
Is there actually a Sharknado 2?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, it's called Sharknado 2, The Other One.
Then I guess I would be Sharknado 3, The Eye of the Storm.
You could be the shark.
Finally.
Steve Nado.
I just split up into component parts, and my component parts are sharks.
Oh, God, this is a terrible idea.
I'm being torn apart. No, and just sharks everywhere. He exploded into a gigantic tornado made of sharks.
You know, everyone talks about Sharknado like it was this big fucking deal. There was an infinitely better shark movie on sci-fi called Ghost Shark that was 1,000 times
better.
Dude,
what about Megalodon?
No. Ghost Shark. It was about a ghost of a shark that anytime any water appears, he could come out of that water. So your body, 70% water. The ghost shark could appear inside your body and eat you from the inside out.
Well, that sounds like a completely unbeatable foe.
Exactly. No one could beat the ghost shark.
I think it'd be better if he like popped out of the toilet.
He did.
Nice.
He did. Any sort of water that appears, he can like just be like, raw ghost shark. Pretty sweet.
It sounds awful. It sounds like Birdemic. Do you see Birdemic?
Birdemic was really
Birdemic's really bad.
It's not even like
it's just real bad.
Like, don't get me wrong, I like a good B movie. I really like trauma films, but man, there are some real bad ones on sci-fi. Like,
I had enough of this. I'm fed up with this world. Everyone betray me.
Like, I always came up with my ideas. I wanted to do my sci-fi movie was called Pumarilla, which is they go explore a jungle where it's haunting, where they're being tracked by a half puma, half gorilla hybrid.
Is it like a puma gorilla centaur? So it's like a gorilla torso with a puma lower body?
It's kind of like a puma head with gorilla arms and puma legs. So it's like
a quasi puma centaur. Like
yeah, kind of. But it's got the speed of a puma,
right?
But the strength of a gorilla, and the ability to swing from vines.
I see. So yes. Do they defeat it very quickly with guns?
No, because the pumarilla is also very tough to kill.
I see.
Yes, that's my explanation.
All right. It's just he's really hard to kill.
And it's starring Coolio, so there you go.
Nice.
I also wanted to do Pterodactyl, which doesn't exist. I looked it up. But it's a pterodactyl movie. It's a movie where people are being attacked by pterodactyls, and it causes terror, so it's a pterodactyl. All of these movies' ideas that I just came up with would cost less than the amount of money that Tabletop made for their Kickstarter or Indiegogo.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
I've been stranded once or twice in a jungle with Puma Gorilla Guy.
Yeah. You want to do the soundtrack for my Pumarilla
movie?
Well,
that was going
to
be Coolio.
Oh, cool. No, I can't afford Coolio to do actually rapping.
Oh.
But I can afford him to be part of my movie.
I see.
Or maybe some of the lesser members of the Wu-Tang Clan. I could probably get them as well. But yeah, Tabletop, I mean, what's he going to...
I'll do it if the Pumarilla is defeated by the Immaculate Katana Blade.
Oh, that's right. I forgot you get to bring up the Katana guy.
Let me
finish this up with Tabletop. He's doing 20 episodes. I don't know if there are 20 Tabletop games that he could review for an entire year that I'd be interested in seeing him do. Like, what can he do? He actually has already done, like, two versions of Catan at this point, and he's done, I think, I don't know, like, two versions of Flux. So it's like... You're just going to be repeating yourself at this point.
I mean, there are a fuck ton of board games. It'd be kind of cool if they did some classic ones, like ones that aren't available
Monopoly?
For sale anymore. Yeah, Monopoly.
Risk?
You would say Monopoly.
Sorry?
You probably own Monopoly.
Connect Four? I do own a Monopoly, but everyone owns a Monopoly.
I don't.
Yeah, but that's because, like, once you get a house, you get a Monopoly. It just comes with a house. You don't have a choice.
Then I would burn it.
It'll come back.
Fuck. It's like Ghost Shark.
It's like Ghost Shark.
Anywhere there's a shelf, it'll appear.
Yes!
Fuck.
But yes, that's what I'm saying with Tabletop. It's like, I don't know if there's that many games that would appear. I mean, he'd have to do some classic.
Or Fireball else, Island, baby.
I would like for him to, I'd like for him to do some, like, really obscure, like, not even Euro games, but, like, those, like, historical games that are just, like, no one ever see. Like, you see them in the bookshelf edition of the games. Like, you go to, it's like 20 questions or how the origins of World War II, like those type of shelf games like that. Everyone would be like,
oh, God, this is so boring. Why are we watching?
or else if he plays it. I would love to see him play a game, Origins of World War II, with celebrity and with the impersonators of Winston Churchill, Hitler, and Roosevelt. Like, that's what I want to see on that. Fuck, that we should do
sense.
That.
That would make sense for some of the production value.
Exactly. We should do that.
The only thing we have to fear is butts.
Let's do Axis and Allies. Let's do a video of us playing Axis and Allies, but we're all dressed up like we are the world leaders of that time.
You're Hitler.
Oh, you're Hitler.
Nope, you're Hitler.
You're Tojo.
Nope, you're Hitler. I'm Stalin.
I'm way more Stalin than you're Stalin.
Nope. You're Hitler.
I have the
There's no choice but for you to be Hitler.
I have the sweet Stalin mustache.
No matter who I end up being, there's no choice for you but to be Hitler.
In a world where he has no choice but to be Hitler. Sweet, I'm going to take over your oil fields or your production factory.
I'll just be whatever. I don't really care. I could be Churchill. I don't care. As long as you're Hitler, we're good.
We'll make Pat B be like Roosevelt. He has to be in a wheelchair the entire time.
He could be like Charles de Gaulle.
I have to go to the bathroom, guys. You go in that wheelchair.
We should make Pat B Charles de Gaulle.
Yes.
Mostly because I want to see him in the French officer's cap.
Sweet. Sweet deal there. All right, so talk about your katana guy real quick.
All right, so you may or may not know about this, but this is kind of old. Like this would be old meme of the RPG world. But
old meme is old.
But well, you don't
it's
know
like
it.
Something James Brandt would put on our Facebook page.
You don't know it old. Though. You okay. don't know it though, so it's gonna be ahead. New to you.
I might know it for all I know.
But it was a big thing in like third edition and 3.5. But katanas in Dungeons and Dragons, there's always what I referred to as the katana guy, who's like the katana. Does not do nearly enough damage in Dungeons and Dragons. How can it possibly do less than a broadsword? Because, as anyone will tell you, the katana blade is almost indestructible and can slice through nearly anything. A seven-body blade can slash through seven bodies stacked on top of one another without the slightest bit of damage. So the fact that it only does a D8 damage is ridiculous. It should have a critical threshold of a 14 or less. And that would really show the damaging power of the katana blade, which should do at least 1d20 damage. And they just, everything is like the katana, there's just like the best thing ever. And I guess this is not just related to D&D, but there's like the katana guys versus the European guys. Mm-hmm. So like the samurais versus the knights. They're like, you don't understand. The knights would be so slow. The katana wielder would be able to pierce every vulnerable part on the knight's body with his super sharp Murasame crafted katana blade.
And it's funny that you bring that up, because I wrote a whole article about the katana blade for use versus zombies for Planet Arbitrary. You could look it up, where I actually like dissected it scientifically. Katanas are pretty fucking useless when it comes to a lot of things. I mean, don't get me wrong. That's pretty sweet to have a sword that's razor sharp and, you know, pretty strong and everything like that. Those things are kind of janky.
How dare you speak anything wrong about the katana blade? I unsheath my immaculate weapon from its scabbard and challenge you to single combat.
Click, click.
Guns are not allowed. This is a fantasy campaign.
This sounds like someone who'd like be really into that JoJo fighting game that you're into.
Clearly, you know nothing about anything. Go back to your Aspie game, Assassin's Aspie, Creed, and you can go to sleep in your hug box, clutching your Ezio figure.
Well, I do that regardless. I sleep in a big bed with my wife.
Anymore, you don't.
No, she's out of town actually this weekend. So I got sweet drunk last night and then fell asleep on the couch playing Assassin's Creed. Ow!
Hey, I need that.
I just shot you.
Yes. Yes, you did. So that's about it for this week.
What is the purpose of that thingy anyway?
It's to clamp down the microphone cable.
Okay.
Yeah. So we don't have anything else to talk about, right? I didn't miss anything?
I don't think so.
No card game, no RPG stuff.
New Magic card set comes out this week.
What's that?
Journey into Nyx.
Journey into Nyx?
Mm-hmm.
Stevie Nyx?
That would be awesome.
Yeah, singing some Witchy Woman. Not. No?
I don't think does Stevie Nyx sing that song?
Yeah. Some, you can go your own way.
Yeah, I know Go Your Own Way. I know the chain and
Tusk. You know Tusk.
Fuck the other one. Fuck, I can't remember it.
So it's Journey into Stevie Nicks.
Yes, Journey into Stevie Nicks.
Okay, sweet. Is it already selling Bufo?
Of course.
Yes.
It's fucking Magic cards. Like they release like a weak set. It's like not a very good set, and it's just like, well, sold out.
Yeah.
This doesn't fucking matter. Pretty sure they could actually just poop into a box. As long as they call that poop mythic, they're fine.
Did you see the new mythic poop? Oh, man, I can't wait to cast those spells.
Can't wait to cast that smell of poop. So, yeah, it's Magic, though. What are you going to do? Can't make any more money.
I mean, I don't really. Like, it's fine. It's just like, I don't like covering it as news because, like, anybody who plays Magic, like, it's like
already knows that Magic out.
They already know what's coming out. They already know the entirety of the set and, like,
I've
been playing Hex, though. Hex is really good.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah? That was a Kickstarter, right?
Yeah, Hex was an online TCG Kickstarter. It's very derivative of Magic, obviously.
Duh. Because
it's made by the guys who made Cryptozoic, who made World of Warcraft, which was in itself derivative of Magic.
Yeah.
It's got some really cool design choices. They really did a lot thus far to really use the fact that they're a digital-only game.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. So, like, you have cards that make specific cards.
So there's no actual physical cards for Hex.
There's no cards at all of any kind.
So it's an online digital game.
It is an online card game. That is it. And one of the cool mechanics is, like, you play, like, a priest. And in Magic, like, if you played the priest, he'd make a 1/1 token or something with an ability. But, like, in Hex, you can play this priest, and he, like, brings you a specific card, which can have its own rules text and, like, that kind of stuff.
Interesting.
And there's random is one of the coolest things is it's like you there's a trap card.
So is it like you pay for like a subscription to the site or something?
No,
like
that? There is a subscription thing which you can do. It's optional. The game's free to play. Minus you have to buy cards. So you have to buy packs or play drafts or whatever. But there is like a subscription service thing called like the VIP, and that gives you like a free pack a week and then like some number of free drafts or something along those lines. So there are options to play cheaper.
Okay.
As far as cost wise, if you play Magic online, you're buying virtual cards at retail price. So a booster pack is $4 plus tax.
That's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, it's insane actually. There's no discounts. And the thing that's crazy is like 36 boosters is a booster box of Magic cards. Any store you walk in and buy will give you a deal if you buy the box. So you're gonna pay, it's like 135 or 136 retail. You're gonna pay 85 to 95 usually if they give you a deal. But on Magic Online, you're going to pay the 136 plus tax. There's no choice.
That's ridiculous. How I don't know.
It's huge. Hex, a virtual booster pack is $2, and tournament entry is $1.
I guess that's not too bad.
So like you can draft in Hex for under half the cost of drafting in Magic.
Yeah.
And also if they actually work it out, Hex looks like they're going to try and do cash tournaments online.
Oh, that's interesting.
So, like, their championship, if they have, like, you know, a $10,000 prize or whatever, you can win $10,000 playing online.
Is it in Bitcoin?
It's not Bitcoin. another idea, another example of what they did with the digital thing. And there's more, but I'm just trying to think off the top of my head. There's a card that's, like, the Trap Master. You play him, and he creates four copies of a card, and he puts that into your opponent's deck. And if your opponent ever draws that card, they reveal it immediately, and they take 4 damage. So, like, it explodes and, like, they take damage.
Does it, like, actually show the card exploding?
Yeah, there's all sorts of crazy visual effects. It's really good.
Well, that's kind of cool.
And the client is way better than Magic Online. Like, it actually runs well and, like, I mean, right now it's a little overloaded because they just did the beta.
Yeah.
So, well, this is the beta. Okay. So, like, they definitely had a stress test because they had, like, 10,000 people try and log on at once and all open their, like, however many thousands of booster packs at the same time. Visually, it's really cool. It's got great sound. There's a single player element to the game where it's an MMO
where you kind of cry yourself to sleep.
No, it's an MMO.
Okay,
like you actually go into dungeons and like there are quests and stuff,
neat.
And you can find items for your champion, and you can put like you can give him swords and weapons and armor.
So what you're saying is this is a game that I don't have to play against other people if I don't want to.
That is correct.
Already better than Titanfall.
And you could play against if you just want to do a straight up 1v1 battle, you can always play against the AI.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so that sounds about good.
Turtle.
I think the only thing we didn't talk about today was the Wood Elves, but that looks like poop.
Hey, they finally found a way to cram a bunch of skulls.
Oh my god, they look so fucking terrible. Oh Jesus fucking Christ! It's my favorite army in fantasy, and they made it look awful.
Yes.
Seriously.
Yes.
No, I play Empire because Wood Elves are just never promoted, and they're never, you know, no one ever does anything with Wood Elves. They look so fucking awful. But look forward to next month when they release the next new edition of Fantasy where the Wood Elves are useless.
Will the rulebook for Fantasy just be a giant skull?
No, the rulebook for Fantasy will be a big dick that you have to sit on.
Will it be studded with skulls?
There might be skulls at the base. So, speaking of sitting on a giant dildo, we also want to thank the Northampton Wargamers for for sponsoring us this episode.
Northampton.
Northampton.
I hope that your game room is decorated with many skulls.
May your game room be decorated with many skulls.
Don't forget to call me Shogun.
What? I don't know that. Is that with your...
No, I just made that up.
Okay, I was going to say, is that with Samurai Guy?
That's with the Katana Blade.
The Katana Blade. Do you own a Katana, Steve?
I do not.
I own two. They're like cheap replicas.
I mean, you can totally own them. It's just the point is being the Katana Guy saying, okay. You're undefeatable if you wield the Katana Blade.
I bought... They're Kill Bill replicas because I'm a big Kill Bill fan. But that's it.
The second one was so bad.
I love the second one. It's way better than you give it credit for.
Everything is coming into view, a full view now. I bet you like Death Proof too.
I've only seen it like twice. It's not like my favorite Tarantino thing he's ever done. It's all right. He's like got like a real obsession with feet and Zoe Bell.
It all makes sense now.
It's weird. I'm not a foot guy, so. So anyway, go to planetarbitrary.com for all our Planet Arbitrary needs. You could follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You could follow Steve at Game Classy. Like our Facebook page, for Christ's sakes.
Dude, a whole bunch of people liked it.
They did. So that's what I'm saying is like already a bunch of new listeners have come in and joined our Facebook page. They're starting to talk on there. Do it. Go to our Facebook page. It's the easy way that we can monetize this
dick
whole
butt.
Thing for some odd reason. I don't know. We're going to get we're someday going to go and cash in our internet dollars. And
dude, you might end up making a whole $20 at the end of the day.
No. I'll make 10. You'll make 10.
Oh, shit. I'm going to get 10 whole bucks.
Well, at this point, I've already paid off our bandwidth, so anything that we get, 50-50 split, buddy.
Oh, man. 10 boners. It's going to be sweet. I'm gonna flop. We know what we got to do? We got to take a picture of us like gangsta hard style with like 10 singles.
Holding it up.
Dude, I'll be throwing out some singles.
We were able to pay off our bandwidth thanks to the help from the
Northampton Wargamers.
The craziest bunch of Wargamers in all of Northampton. Still have not looked up where Northampton is.
I don't think it's a real place.
You don't think it's like a mythic
place?
Or
perhaps it exists entirely inside Hamish's mom's vagina.
What?
Oh, yes.
That's what your money's going towards. Yes. Listen to our sister podcast. And when I mean sister, I mean sista with an A at the end. Play on where they talk about Brofall. Brofall in 5 seconds.
And filthy casual games.
And filthy casual games. And they don't talk about crazy, obscure Japanese fighting games.
It's not obscure. It's a fucking AAA title. Yes. The problem is you don't know what AAA titles are anymore. You've been brainwashed by your infinite sequel games.
Yes. It's a AAA title.
It is.
Sure.
Oh, and just to further slap this in your face, also to slap this in Pat B's face and Playon's face, Dark Souls 2 was voted rated higher than Titanfall and won the game of the month in Game Informer.
As if everyone anything. Was like, oh, it's so hard to beat. Click, click, upvote it because it's so hard to beat. Oh, so I got beat by another skeleton. I got to give it another upvote. Beep, beep, beep. Upvote it. Upvote. Beep, beep, beep. Oh, it's so hard. So hard.
Go back to playing your game for Asperger's children,
times.
Please.
I can't come please. As many times.
You know, I think you should be banned from talking about video games because you're really bad at them.
Oh, okay.
I think that should be the rule.
Sure.
And you
enough.
Think the Assassin's Creed story is good. You play it for the story, which is pretty,
I play
really
it for
bad.
The pirate shanties, to be fair.
I don't know about that.
What
about all the other ones you played?
Well, I play the Italian ones because I love a sweet Italian game.
They're not made by Italians. They're made by French Canadians.
Hey, mamma mia.
They're made by French Canadians.
It's a me, a
Ubisoft's
Mario.
A Quebec company. Hey. Company de la Quebec.
But I do like poutine.
Poutine's fucking gross.
You've never eaten it.
No, I wouldn't eat it. It looks so disgusting. It looks like some dude diarrheaed over French fries. I'm sorry. Freedom fries.
So good. So let's see. Like our Facebook page. Comment on Tabletop Gaming News. We love it when you comment on the actual podcast itself.
Dude, maybe you can start a flame war in our comment thread.
About how we have so much flash on our, you know, mold lines on our podcast. That would be pretty sweet. I would appreciate it.
As long as it's a flame war, I don't really care what it's about.
Yeah, it could be about JoJo's butt adventure.
Or it could be about Joe's taste in shitty games.
All right, so Steve, until next week.
Joe's games are bad. My games are good.
Game Classy.